Lord, we thank you from the worship to the word. We just thank you and we bless you, Lord, for just your goodness and your grace, how the power of the Holy Spirit has moved. Thank you for speaking to us during worship, during the offering, during the visitor's fellowship, Lord. Thank you for what you've already done in the Sunday school classes this morning with the men and the women and the youth. God, thank you how you've already moved. Now we just ask that you confirm your word, confirm within our hearts, confirm through your word. We need you today more than ever. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken world. Speak now, Lord, we need you through the power of your Holy Spirit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Did I say Job chapter 2? Chapter 2 and verse 1. And as we continue our series, Is God Enough? Last week we did a review in chapter 1. This week we'll do somewhat of a review, but not a review, but we're in chapter 2. Make a note of last week we saw that Job was great, he was godly, and he was rich. And his life fell apart due to no fault of his own. You can be great, godly, and rich, and your life can fall apart due to no fault of your own. You can be broke, busted, and disgusted, and your life can fall apart due to no fault of your own. It's the sovereignty of God. How life happens to all of us. Job lost everything except for his life and his wife. But he did lose everything. And then he worshiped God. And he blessed God. So we were asking, because we saw in the midst of the spiritual warfare, which we're going to even dig deeper, even a little bit more. Can you worship God? Can you bless God even when things fall apart? And more importantly, I would say, can you bless God and can you worship God when things are going extremely well? Or is that when we forget about God and I'm good, life is great, I'll talk to God when things fall apart if I need to? So those are questions being posed this morning, but I want us to see the spiritual warfare that we're in. Verse 2 and 1, it says, again, there was a day. Underline that if you haven't already. That speaks of timing. It lets you know everybody has their day. Whether we're great, godly, and rich, or we're broke, busted, and disgusted, doesn't matter color, race, gender, everybody has their day. And it says, again, there was a day. We've all had a day. Somebody say amen. Amen. Some of us would even say, Pastor, last year, 2017, was my year, which was my day, because it seemed like every day of the year was something drama going on. So we all have our day, we all have our year, we all have our time. So never be too hard on yourself. We all go through it. God wrote his word, had others write his God-inspired words so we can see that we all go through it, that we all need God, that we couldn't save ourselves. So again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. So some kind of way, Satan still has access to God. We made a note of that. Make a note. The grace of God. And here's Satan. He still has access to God. And then he would tell you and I that we should never talk to God because of what we've done, where we've been, what we just thought, what we just said. He would tell us that God doesn't want to hear anything we have to say. And then he can go to God. And then he talks about us when he goes to God. Make a note that Satan is a liar and he's the father of lies. We're going to dig deeper into that. But everyone has their day. And some kind of way, Satan still dialogues with God. I'll tell you why he does. Because Satan knows that God created him. Satan didn't create God. God created Satan. Satan has power, but God has all power. And he knows he has to check in before he can do anything and get permission, because God is almighty. Satan does have some power, but God is almighty. And Satan knows who's in charge. We don't. There's no confusion here. They're not confused. We're the ones that's confused. Because we forget that we have access to God. And we don't take advantage of the access, but Satan does. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. I'm going to show you a revelation as we continue on. So then the question, somebody would pose the question, well, did God create evil? If God created Satan and Satan's evil, well, God created everything good. But then just like you and I, Satan has a choice. Whether we're going to live and work for God or whether we're going to do our own thing and work for evil. We have a choice, and that's it. Even the angels that got kicked out, the third of the heavenly host that got kicked out, when Satan got kicked out, they had a choice. They said, we're going to go out and do our thing like Satan. They had a choice. You and I have a choice. God did not create evil. Satan chose to be evil. We choose either to love God or to be an adversary to God. So here we go. And then verse 2. And the Lord said unto Satan, well, what you been doing? Where are you coming from? Satan answered the Lord and said, I'm going around up and down the earth just doing my thing, walking up and down in it. And I told you last week, all you have to do is watch the news. And Brother Eli told me how a war broke out in Turkey today. We had a drive-by in Compton last night. A little 3-year-old kid got killed. And so if you don't believe that Satan is going to and fro and up and down and doing his thing, then just watch the news. Just look around. Amen. He said, that's what I do. And remember, he's like the Terminator. That's all he does. His job is to steal, kill, and destroy. Ladies, you're going out with this guy and you're thinking you're getting a free meal, but he's trying to kill. And men, you think you're just going out for a cup of coffee, but she's trying to destroy thee. That's all he does. He's not playing. Satan doesn't know how to play. He steals, he kills, and he's destroyed. He's not playing. He doesn't play. We think we can play with him, but he doesn't play. Trust me, he is not playing. Look at, let me show you. Let's go where Ephesians 6 and 10. We've read it before, but let's look at it again. So you understand the spiritual battle that we're in. He's not playing. When you're there, say amen. Ephesians 6 and 10. Paul is saying, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, the power of God's might. Be strong in the Lord's might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. He's not playing. You think you're just having fun, but he is setting it up. Look, I'm going to go out with this dude. I'm going to just give me a couple of free meals and I'm done with this dude. Ladies don't want to talk to me this morning, but that's okay. It's more than a free meal. This dude, Satan is not playing. He's setting you up. It's a scheme. It's a plot, it's a plan, it's a blueprint to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal your joy, ruin your life, kill your relationship with God. He is not playing. He doesn't play. Understand that now. Put on the whole armor, the complete armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes, the blueprint, the tricks, the gimmicks, the games of the devil. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. When you break it down, the principalities are demons, the powers are forces and authorities. When you put it in the Greek and the Aramaic, the rulers, the devil and his demons, darkness, shadiness. Spiritual wickedness is supernatural depravity and debauchery in high places. That's what we're wrestling against. And you think he's playing with you. He's not playing with you. He's not playing with me. And see, you've been at your job this week and you've been arguing with people. You're not. Stop arguing with people. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Stop it. Start praying for people. Don't feed into it. Don't play into it. You're not wrestling. If you still get upset with people, you have a lot of spiritual maturing to do. It's a scheme. It's a plot of the enemy to get you caught up to steal and kill and destroy your joy, your peace of mind, your relationship with God. Remember, people are sent into your life for two reasons. Either they're God's gift or they're Satan sent. It's no in between. It is black and white. You got to understand, and you will know, ladies and gentlemen, you will know by the first 5 minutes of the conversation who sent them into your life. Maybe the first thing they say, maybe the first minute of the conversation, you already know, okay, I need to get away from this guy or this girl or whatever it is. I need to get away from this. So understand, this spiritual warfare, and it's not going to get any better, unfortunately, because it's already been written. It's already been written in the Word. We win at the end. Somebody say amen. Amen. But we still got to go through. Amen. We still got to go. We win at the end, but we got to go through. But when you go through, don't be ignorant. Arguing with people, getting upset with people, thinking it's about you, thinking it's about them. You're in the middle of a war. Verse 2, let's go back to Job 2 and 2. Look what he says. What have you been doing? He says, I've been going through, up and down, to and fro, trying to get busy, trying to influence somebody to do something stupid. Trying to influence somebody through deception to work for me. Satan said, I'm trying to influence somebody. I'm trying to deceive them so bad that they'll work for me and they'll enjoy it. Not playing with them. They think they're playing. They think they're getting over. They think nobody knows. I am setting them up. Got them in a spider web. Got them in a trick bag. And they think they're getting over. Verse 3, and the Lord said unto Satan, have you considered, have you taken a look at my servant, my slave Job? That word servant is slave. And we, you know, it has a negative connotation, which it does, but keep it real. You and I are a slave to something anyway. Something got you in bondage. Either you're serving God or something else. You're serving yourself or you're serving money. You're serving your lust. You're serving your desires. You're serving power. We're a slave to something. So don't get offended by the word. God said, this guy is mine. I own him. I created him and I own him. But Job loves me because of who God is, who I am. That's what God is saying. Not out of deception. See, because if people really knew what Satan was doing, they would get away from him. But through deception, they love money, they love this, they love that, they love all this other stuff that Satan throws their way to distract them. So God says, have you considered my servant? Hey, and he's probably, he could be talking now, asking somebody, have you considered South Bay? You considered some of the people at South Bay? And then Satan told God that Job only serves him because of what he does for him. So God has the right to test us. So this is a test. I know next week in Long Beach Unified, they're taking finals. This is a final. This is bigger than a final. So for life. The Lord said unto Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth? He's perfect. He means he's blameless, which means he's a good man, an upright man, one that respects the awesomeness of God. That's what the fear means in the Hebrew. They respect the awesomeness of God, and he stays away from evil. And still he held fast his integrity, his innocence, although you've moved me against him to destroy him without cause. Wow. Interesting relationship God and Satan has. Interesting. You had me to test him, even to destroy him without cause. Family, make a note. When your life is falling apart, you know it's three reasons. Either it's my disobedience, Either it's Satan trying to destroy me without cause, or it's God testing me. That's why you can't be upset with people. You can't be upset with people, because all three of those have nothing to do with anybody else. That's spiritual warfare, and that's your disobedience. Nothing to do with anybody else. No reason to be upset with people. We are right where God has us. We're being tested right now. Then we got to listen to what God is saying. Because if you fail the test, then you're going to have to take it again. If you fail the test, you're going to have to take it again. Then look at verse 4. This bothers me a little bit. Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin. Yea, all that a man has will he give for his life." So here's Satan saying, but look at Job 1 and 11. Satan told him in verse 1:11, "If you put your hand and touch all that he has, he will curse you to your face." But now in verse 5, in verse 4, he's saying skin for skin. Ladies, be careful when the story changes every time. First it's one thing, then it's next. Guys, be careful when the story starts changing. When you go in for one thing, now it's something else. Here's Satan. First he said, if you take away his stuff, he's going to curse you to his face. Now he's saying, he didn't care about that stuff. He didn't care about that stuff. But that's not what he said at first. He didn't say that at first. He said, if you take his stuff, he's going to curse you to his face. Then God allowed him to take his stuff. Now he's saying he didn't even care about that stuff anyway. Now touch his body and he'll curse you to his face. See, when you get into half-truths, and it's still a lie. And when you start playing games and you can't be honest, you got to understand who's influencing you, and it's not God. Here's Satan changing the story. It's like when you go in, you know, the used car dealer or the car dealer, you go in and they got this nice one and then it's only one like that. And then when you get there, it's gone. And they try and sell you something else. But that's not what you said. Call it the bait and switch. So Satan now he's trying to play the bait and switch with God. But he's a liar from the beginning. All right, here you go. Let's go to John 8. This is what Satan does. He steal, kill, and destroy. And he's the father of lies. John 8 and I think it's John 8 and 40. 8:40. Ladies and gentlemen, understand the spiritual warfare that we are in. Understand it. So now we go deeper. We've gone over this passage of scriptures before. It deserves repeating. Here's a conversation between Jesus and the Pharisees, the fake religious folks. And they're still around today. Somebody say amen. Amen. Don't be surprised. They're around today. But remember, you can't fake a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't fake it. Spend 5 minutes with somebody and you'll know if they really know the word or not, or if they're faking it. All you need is 5 minutes. That's a John 8 and 40. Here's Jesus saying, "But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I've heard of God. This did not Abraham." The Pharisees was trying to put Abraham above Jesus. Jesus says, stop right there. I'm above Abraham. I've seen Abraham. When Abraham was created, I was there. But verse 41, "You do the deeds." This is Jesus. It's written in red. "You do the deeds of your father." Okay, so make a note. There's two fathers out there. There's two fathers. And when they're referring to father, we're talking God. There are two gods out there. One is God the Father. One is Satan. He's the God of this world. Jesus even told him. I'm telling you, family, it gets deep. And everybody in here, we're serving one or the other. And if you say, I'm good, I don't serve either one, then you're serving the devil by default. Because you have to serve God on purpose. I know it's a hard word. It's not a popular word, but it's the word. It gets deeper. Because then they try and talk about Jesus' mama in verse 41. Jesus said, you do the deeds of your father. They said unto him, we're not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Because, you know, Jesus was a stepchild, so to speak, because he was the immaculate conception. Joseph was not his real father. God was his father. And so Mary was pregnant before she was married with the baby. And so they said, no, your mama was a you-know-what. Because she got pregnant before she got married. That's what they just said right here. That's what they said. They tried to do a little backhand, no-look pass, slap on the face. Your mama's a you-know-what. Verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Verse 43, why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Here you go. Verse 44, put a star by it. You are of your father, the devil. There's two fathers out there. Brother Raymond is two fathers. And here's, we got to stop the lie that we all belong to God. No, you, we all should get along because we're all God's children. No, we're not. Jesus made the distinction right there. You of your father, the devil. You're not my brother or sister. Family, I'm just trying to educate us because the spiritual warfare is out there. They will tell you that all roads lead to God. That's not what Jesus just said. Now, they will lead to God, but they all don't lead to eternal life. There's truth in every religion. Oh, that's not what Jesus just said. Be careful who you're listening to. You got to get into the word. You have to be fluent in the word. You have to know the word. Jesus said, you have your father, the devil. Oh, we're all children of God. We love each other, everybody. Stop right there. We're not. We're all created by God, but we're not all children of God. Some people on your job that serve the devil. And some know it and some don't. But the truth is still the truth. Gravity is still gravity. Jump off the top of this building, you jump on your head, I guarantee you're going to hit the ground. Whether you believe in gravity or not. The truth is still the truth, whether you believe it or not. This is the word. Now, if you don't believe the word, then that's do your thing. Verse 44, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth because there is no truth in him. The devil is not. It ain't even no truth in him. He's not playing with you. I'm just going to hang out for you. He's not playing. He doesn't know how to play. There's no truth in him. He's going to lie. He's going to deceive and hope to steal, kill, and destroy you. You can't play with him. He doesn't play. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. He speaks of his own nature. For he is a liar and the father of it. I don't know how much more plain the word can get. Folks, I'm trying. I'm really trying to make it plain. Family, we're going to walk out here and we got to know what we're dealing with. I know Clarence isn't here. Clarence was Navy. You were Marines, Eli. You got to go into battle with a strategy and with a plan. Otherwise, you're going to get beat every time. You have to know what your enemy is, what he does, and what he and how he influences each other, us and everybody else around. You have to have a battle plan. Otherwise, you're going to lose every time. I wrote this. Look, let me read this, Kathy. Let me pause and read this. Keep in mind, family, the enemy's job is to kill, steal, and destroy. That gentleman you just met, the young lady you just befriended, that person who just mysteriously happened to pop back up into your life that you're so excited about. If you're not looking at the situation through a biblical lens, you will be deceived. And make no mistake, the enemy is trying to steal, kill, and destroy your peace, your joy, your body, your mind, your soul, your life, your family, your kids, your church, every aspect of your life. The enemy does not care about you. The enemy is like the Terminator. Steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he does. It's not going to be different this time. It's not going to be different this time. You're not going to be happy if it's not holy. I said, read this, so I had to read it. I had to read it just like I wrote it. The enemy is not your friend. We must have a kingdom mentality. His mission is to destroy every godly aspect of your life. It's not going to be different this time. If it's not holy, it's not going to work. Let me finish up. Verse 45. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convict me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God hears God's word. You therefore hear them not because you're not of God. Can I show you something else? Whew. All right, let's go to Genesis 3. Before we come back to Job, let's go back to the beginning. Let's go to Genesis 3. We looked at it a little bit. Oh, no. Before I go there, let's go to Job. Let's go back to Job, all right? I'm going to set it up for you, right? Verse 4. Job 2 and 4. When you're there, say amen. Who's working with me today, JL? I meant to tell you I was going to be all over the place, JL, all right? I meant to tell you that. Say that again. I know I'm confusing you. Sorry. Sorry about that. We'll talk later. All right. I'll see you at home, okay? Did I say Job 2 and 4? And here's a lie. Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. All that a man have, he'll give for his life. He's saying that we'll get rid of stuff. If you give somebody option, all your stuff for your life, we're going to say, hey, man, take that stuff. Let me keep my life. But that's not what he said at first. At first he told him, if you take it, he's going to curse you. Now he's changing the story. But he's a liar. It's no truth in him. He couldn't bring out any truth because it's not in him. So here we go. Verse 5. But put forth your hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to his face. Now the story's changing. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and he touched Job with sore boils. Okay. All right, let me finish. All right. Okay, verse 6. I'm sorry. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but save his life, or that word save in Hebrew, but guard his life. Okay, you do your thing. Satan's not confused. He understood he couldn't do anything without God's permission. But look what happens in verse 7. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet, sole of his foot unto his crown. Here's the revelation. Because I took a lot of notes on this. I'm going to do some read this right here, too. But look, verse 7. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Underline that. Isn't that something? Satan is in the presence of the Lord. When was the last time you and I were in the presence of the Lord? You and I will call ourselves a Christian. If I ask you, raise your hand if you're a Christian. You would raise your hand and say, I'm a Christian. And it's possible that Satan spends more time in the presence of the Lord than you and I do. And see, Satan's not confused. We are, because Satan knows who the Almighty is. He knows who has all the power, so he goes to God. And then he'll tell you and I to never go to God because of what you just did and what you just said. And he's destroying the earth, and he can go to God. Satan spends more time in the presence of the Lord than you and I. I put forth the challenge 10 minutes a day for 10 days. And we're too busy. But we call ourselves Christians. And then Satan's in the presence of the Lord. And we're not. And we don't know what's going on. And we're confused, caught up in his schemes, because we're not in the presence of the Lord. Okay, let me read some of this. Read this. What does it say right here? Satan understands that he has to submit to the word of God. God is in control. All right. Make no mistake. Satan knows God is in control. We don't. That's why we don't spend time with God. We would be ought to get the wisdom of God each and every day through his word if we really understood that God is really in charge. God has, make a note, God has the first and the final word in your life. Satan has to get permission. He knows who's in charge. All right, so now let's go to Genesis. Satan was in the presence, and then through his lies and deceptions, look what happened to Adam and Eve. Here we are, verse 3 and 8. When you're there, say amen. Genesis 3 and 8. Speaking of Adam and Eve. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Satan's in the presence of the Lord. He's doing everything he can to convince us to hide from God. Because of what I just thought, what I just said, what I just did. But remember, he's a liar. It's no truth in him. That's all he does is lie. Makes us think we're not worthy. Man, God could never love anybody like you. God could never want to use anybody like you. And all he does is lie. And then he goes to the presence of God and we hide from God. Look at 3 and 4. This is a lie that he told him to eat the fruit, to get influence Eve to eat the fruit. The serpent said unto the woman, you're not going to die. But remember, ain't no truth in him. And his old mission was to get them to hide from the presence of God, because they stayed in the presence of God. Family, I said it before, I'll say it again, and this is in preparation for our couples ministry. This is the first recorded lie in the Bible, and it's told to a married couple. Married couples, make a note. That's like, he's always lying to us. You're not going to make it. You might as well get out. Where's he at now? Where's he at? Where they at? Check their phone. Do this. He's not at work. He's not at the gym. He's always lying to couples. First recorded lie. He's still lying to us today. And those of you who desire to be married one day, you better make a note. Because if you're not disciplined now, you're not going to be disciplined later. An enemy's going to come in. He's already trying to get in your head with you being single. You wait till you get married. Then he's going to get in both of your heads. Amen. All the married people said amen. But that's what he's a liar. That's what he does. Family, understand what he does. Don't let him tell you something about your spouse. Don't listen to that. That's what he did. Caught him up in the spider web and the scheme, and he's been around since the beginning of time. This is what he does, and he's good at it. And if we don't understand his battle plan, then we're going to get caught up every time. All right, so here we go. But look, here's the beautiful thing about it. Look at Genesis 3 and 3 and 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. So even back then, God was covering our sins. In order to make a coat of skins, that's a hide, that's some type of hide. Something had to die so that they could be covered. Then the Israelites always had to make a sacrifice to cover their sins. And so we see this is what we call a type and shadow of Jesus Christ, because in Jesus Christ was the ultimate Lamb of God that died and covered our sins. God was sending a message from Genesis to Revelation that Jesus Christ is going to die and cover our sins. God did for them what they couldn't do for themselves. They tried to hide with fig leaves. I was going to say something. Man, if you can hide under a fig leaf, then you got bigger issues to be worried about. But anyway, God had to kill to really cover them up. Made skin, something died, something had to bleed and die to cover them. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. All right, let me finish this up really quickly. Let me show you this too, this other connection in the book of Acts. I believe it's Acts, what chapter is that? Chapter 5. So we see the first recorded lie in the Bible told to a married couple influenced by Satan. Now in the New Testament, we see the first recorded lie of the church told by a married couple influenced by Satan. And you know, that's why we have our couples retreat coming up, because we have to understand that it's always an attack on couples. It's an attack on being single. It's an attack on all of us as Christians. But we got to see how Satan specifically tries to attack couples. And he's always lying to us. And remember, he doesn't play. He still kill and destroy. Okay, so here we go. Did I say Acts 5? Acts 5 and 1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it or aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But look at verse 3. This is where I want you to put the star by. But Satan said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? That's what he does. They weren't lying to people. When I'm lying to you, I'm not lying to you. I'm lying. I'm being influenced by Satan, and I'm lying to the God in you. If I lie to my spouse, I'm not lying to her. I'm lying to the Holy Spirit in her. God sees it. I'm being influenced by Satan. At least I better know who I'm working for. Now, don't pretend, oh, it's all good. It's just a little white lie or a big black lie. I don't know what you want to call it, but you're lying to the Holy Ghost and you're being influenced by Satan. Call it what it is. Know the game that's being played. Let me read that again. Look what Peter says. Because we think we're lying to each other. We think we're getting over. We think we're doing this, but we're playing right into the scheme and the spider web with Satan. And he's not playing with us. He doesn't know how to play. Young ladies in high school, he doesn't know how to play. That guy's out to steal, kill, and destroy. He's not playing with you. And when you lie to your parents, you're not lying to your parents. You're lying to the God in them, and you're being influenced by Satan. Youth, make no mistake. You haven't been called to fit in. You've been called to stand out. Don't play the satanic games. I don't care what your friends are doing. Don't do it. Tell the truth and deal with the consequences. Do your best to live right. Then when you slip, you tell the truth and live and deal with the consequences. But don't get caught up in Satan's game of lying, thinking you're lying to your parents. But Peter, verse 3, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? God help us. To lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land. And look, verse 4, it says, while it was yours, was it not your own? And after you sold it, it was still your own. You don't have to lie to God. If you're not paying your tithes and offering, just say, God, I'm struggling right now. It's yours. Do what you want to do with it. But don't come in like, I'm a tither, I'm giving an offering. And we never talk about that stuff here. Because it's between you and God. If you don't, hey, look, God, I'm really struggling right now. I'm hoping you'll help me. And those of us who give will tell you can't afford not to give. I just don't have it this month. I can't afford it. I'm saying you can't afford not to give. Either you trust God or you don't. But at least he said, look, when it was yours, it was yours. Don't pretend. Come clean. God, I'm struggling. The lady who gave two mites, he said she gave more than they did. Two pennies. They thought Jesus was bad at math like us. Y'all know this church, we bad at math. We ain't gonna even try. No more math, no time, no math, no nothing. Nothing with numbers. Okay? We're not gonna do it here. Well, we don't even read numbers. We in trouble. So they sold and they gave. Peter saying, when it was yours, it was yours. Why you gotta lie about it? Stop trying to impress people. You ain't got to lie about it. Okay, let me finish and then we're going to stop here. You know how we do. When we stop and then we pick it up next week. Verse 4, while it remained, was it not your own? And after you sold it, was it not your own? It's still in your own power. It belongs to you. Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? Come on, somebody say it, man. It gets back to the heart, doesn't it? You have not lied unto men, but unto God. You ain't lying to your parents. You're lying to God. I'm not lying to my spouse. I'm lying to God. I got to come clean. I got to be real. Otherwise, you're not going to move forward. You can't move forward when you're just stuck in a scheme of lies. And eventually it comes out in the wash. So in Job 2 and 7, I'm going to read that and then we're going to stop. So went Satan from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the soles of his feet unto his crown. Took a potsherd to scrape himself all around and sat down in his ashes. It's a tough time when all you can do is sit in your sickness. It's a tough place to be. I've been trying not to just go right to the end of the book to show you. I've been trying my best not to go to the end of the book to show you how Job turns out at the end. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
But we know he gets the victory, right? But it's tough when you got to sit in your sickness. When you're in the midst of a scheme that Satan's playing and it's no fault of your own. So we'll pick up here next week and we'll just keep flowing as God leads us. But family, understand, we are in a battle for our life. We need God more than ever. You need this word more than ever. You need to understand the schemes of the enemy and discern who you are allowing to influence you more than ever. All right, let us pray and then we'll close out. Thank you. So, Lord, we thank you and we bless you. Thank you, Lord, for the insight into your word, the revelation. God, how can Satan go into your presence and then convince us to hide and run from your presence? God, let us run to your presence and hide from Satan. Let us start running to your presence and hide from Satan. Help us to discern the people that come into our life. Are they God's gift or are they Satan sent? God, help us to discern. Give us your wisdom through your word. 10 days, 10 minutes a day. Can we start there to get into your presence? Not out of religion, but because of relationship. So I pray, Lord, that we answer the challenge. Thank you for challenging us. Thank you for not letting it be business as usual in 2018. We don't want an extension of 2017, Lord. We really want 2018 to be different. So let us study your word. Let us beg you for your wisdom and your knowledge so we can discern any and everything that comes into our life. We trust you for it, Lord, and we thank you for it. Maybe someone's here, Lord, and say, Pastor, I've I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my heart as my Lord and Savior. That's my first step. I need to accept Christ. My sins aren't covered. Just like God made skins to cover their sin, Jesus Christ was the ultimate sacrifice to cover our past, present, and future sins. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I've been rescued by God. If that's you, elevate your hand. You want to be sure that you've been rescued, that you've been saved. Maybe you're here, you want to rededicate your life. That's between you and God. You don't want 2018 to be an extension of 2017. The Bible says if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all sins. It says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart God raised Jesus from the dead, then we should be saved. So just between you and God, you don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to get up. If you want to rededicate your life, just in your heart of hearts, God, save me. God, rescue me. God, help me to do better. God, help me to study your word. God, help me to live for you. Give me the power of your Holy Spirit so I can do it. I do want my life to be different this time. I want 2018 to be different. I do want to reach all my God-given potential in you. So, Lord, I rededicate my life now in the name of Jesus. It's between you and God. Maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home and you visit, but you want to make it official this morning. If that's you, elevate your hand. Say, Pastor, I'd like to be part of the South Bay Abundant Life Church family. And we're family. Some people call it members, but we know that we're family. Lord, we thank you because there's none like you and nothing too hard for you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. God, give us the strength, the desire, and the courage to live what we just heard. We know as soon as we step out the doors, we're in a battlefield. Let us be aware. Let us be sober. Let us be vigilant. Let us be on the lookout. Let us be aware of the enemy's schemes. And then let us live according to your word so we can live victoriously. We thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day that you've made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, cover your people. Bless your people. Give your peace. Give your people strength and peace, discernment, so they can live your word. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug, and you are dismissed.